Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling in life, stay with us for this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit, a six-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. This out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle is based on five essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Amazing Power of Forgiveness.
Research has shown that resentment is the most unhealthy emotion known to humankind. It does more damage to your body, to your nervous system, to the general health of your body. That when you hold on to that, it's like taking fire in your heart. It's like injecting yourself with a virus or, you know, inviting cancer to come in. It will eat you alive. And we've all seen people who got bitter and more and bitter and more bitter and more bitter, and they just shrink into this little bitter person. You know, there are physical and there are emotional consequences when you refuse to forgive. Now, some people, they are so picky about what they eat. And you could eat the perfect vegan, vegetarian, low-cal, high-protein diet, and if you're still holding on to that resentment against your ex, that's what's going to make you sick. It's going to eat you alive. So you got to deal with it in your heart. Nothing depletes emotional energy faster than resentment against a boyfriend or girlfriend or something else like that. Now, there's a third reason why I have to forgive. And as I said, all of these, none of them have to do with them. The other person deserves it. They don't. It's because I'm going to need more forgiveness in the future. I'm going to need more forgiveness in the future. The Bible says this. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father, heavenly Father, will not forgive your sins." What's he saying? Forgiveness is a two-way street. We cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. Somebody asked or told John Wesley one time, he said, "I could never forgive that person." And Wesley said, "Well, then I hope you never sin." You don't want to burn the bridge that you've got to walk across in order to get into heaven. Now listen, there's no way you're getting into heaven on your good works because you're not good enough. Heaven's perfect and you're not, and neither am I. The only way you or I have any chance of getting into heaven is God's grace, His forgiveness. And God says we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. He said, it is based on you. God says, "I'm going to show you grace, and I want you to be gracious to others. So don't burn the bridge that you've got to walk over. You're going to need more forgiveness in the future." When we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." What are you praying there? You're saying, "God, I want you to forgive me as much as I forgive everybody else." Hello? You really want to pray that prayer? "God, I want you to forgive me as much as I've forgiven everybody who's ever hurt me." You need to learn to let it go because you're going to need more forgiveness in the future. 50 years ago this week, five American missionaries got in this plane. This is the actual plane. And they went to go make contact in the rainforest of the eastern Amazon in Ecuador. And they were going in to see the Waldani tribe, which anthropologists said was the most vicious, violent society on the face of the earth. And everybody was afraid of them because the Waldani had a culture of killing. Not only did they kill everybody who came and got in their way, but they killed each other. In fact, studies shown that the number one reason people died in the Wahodani tribe was murder. 60% of the tribe died by homicide. Can you imagine living in a culture where everybody's killing each other all the time? That 60%, the number one reason for death is somebody murdered my dad, my brother, my sister, whatever. And even though these missionaries had guns, they made the decision, we will never use them in self-defense. In fact, we would rather die than use the guns against the Wahodani. And what's going to happen is we are ready for heaven and they aren't, and we want to show them forgiveness. And so after an initial flight in where they made contact and there was some friendly, and they thought, this is good, friendly gestures, they flew back in and they landed on a sand barge in the Amazon River area. And they got out of the plane and were instantly speared to death. In fact, there are actually some spear marks here. And on this portion of the spar from the left wing, you can't see it here, but there are machete marks all the way up and down this, where the Amazon, the Alka Indians of the Wahodani tribe actually, tried to chop up the plane and tear it apart, not just the men. When that happened, it made news around the world. The world was shocked. It was on the cover of Life magazine, Time, and Newsweek, and many newspapers reported the death of these five missionary men, Nate Saint and Jim Elliott and three other men. Well, the rest of the story is some relatives, loved ones of that family later went back just a couple years later and moved in with the very tribe that had killed the husbands and the fathers and the brothers of all these loved ones. And they moved back in. Rachel Saint and Elizabeth Elliott moved in, two women, into the village. About a year later, Steve Saint, the son, the young 7-year-old son of Nate Saint, moved into that village at great risk to his own life because he represented the revenge. In that culture, you were told to avenge your father's death. And as a result of their showing love and forgiveness to the men, the five men who had killed their fathers and their husbands, Ming Kai, the leader of that murderous tribe, who of the five men who came out, and all five of those men who had helped participate in the murder, all became Christians. And they began to grow in the Lord, and many of the people in the tribe became Christians. That kind of forgiveness doesn't make sense until you have been forgiven by God. Have you ever experienced that? And then once you do, how do you forgive? You do the four things that these guys did. If you can write quick, I can give it to you quick. How do I let go of the people who've hurt me? Four things. Number one, by relinquishing my right to get even. That's the first thing you do. You give up your right. I have a right to get even. They hurt me. You give up that right. And that's the first step of forgiveness. Romans 12, 19. Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. For he has said he will repay those who deserve it. Leave it up to God. He'll take care of it. He'll settle the score. He'll work it out. And he can do a whole lot better job than you do. Now, let me tell you something. I have been married for 30 years. I have hurt my wife many, many times. I'm ashamed to say. In many different ways, by words and emotions. And she has hurt me many, many times. But still, after 30 years, we're together and we're more in love than ever before. Why? Because I've discovered that the key, the thing that destroys relationships, is not hurt. What destroys relationships is an unwillingness to forgive. It is unforgiveness that destroys relationships, not hurt. We're human. We're going to hurt each other, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. It's going to happen. When you put two imperfect people together, you can never expect a perfect relationship. You're going to hurt each other. The issue is, will you give up your right to get even? And will you offer forgiveness? And when you do, any hurt can be overcome. Now, let me just be real honest to some of you. Your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or boyfriend or your parent or somebody really hurt you in the past. And you have held it over their heads for months, maybe even years. And you won't let it go. And no matter what they do, they can't measure up because you won't let it go. And do you know what? You are killing the relationship. Not that hurt from years ago. You are killing it by your unwillingness to let it go, your unwillingness to forgive. The first step is I let go of my right to get even. Number two, I respond to evil with good. How can you tell when you've released somebody, when you've really forgiven them? You can actually pray for God to bless the person who hurt you. When you can get to that point, you know you've forgiven them. You can pray for God to bless them. The Bible says this, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. One of the ways you know you've matured, that you're a mature person, is that you can look beyond the hurt that was done to you and see their hurt and what caused them to hurt you. You see, hurt people hurt people. When somebody hurts you, it's because they're hurting in some way. Their own insecurity, their own guilt, their own resentment, their own inferiority, their own the things that hurt them in their past have messed up their mind and their lives. And they're hurting others because they're hurting themselves. And maturity and forgiveness comes. Once I forgive them, I can stop looking at how they hurt me and start seeing why they did it. And I can actually see the sympathetic and begin to pray for them for the hurt that they carried that caused them to hurt others. You see, forgiveness is rarely a one-time shot. When somebody hurts you, you think about it over and over and over. And how often do you have to forgive the person? Until the pain goes away. When the pain goes away, you know you've forgiven them. Jesus said this to Peter. Peter asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Seven times? You know, he's thinking, man, this is really generous. No, said Jesus. How about 70 times seven? In other words, it's got to be continual. It's got to be limitless. Don't even try to count it. Now, here's the rule. Every time you remember that hurt, how they hurt you, and the pain comes back again, you got to release them and you got to forgive them. And you got to do it over and over and over until you don't feel the pain anymore. And then you know you've let it. If you don't do that, if you keep rehearsing it in your mind, whatever you rehearse in your mind, if you don't release them, you're going to eventually resemble them. It's a law of life. That whatever you focus on, you become. And if you hate somebody so much, pretty soon it starts showing up in your own life, and you certainly don't want that. What you hate the most and you focus on, what you rehearse in your mind, you will eventually resemble. And people are starting to say, you're just like your mother. You're just like your dad. You're just like whatever. Because you go, no, I don't want to be that. But you know what? When you focus on it, that's what you move toward. Now, let me say this. It's not always possible or even advisable to go to the person personally who hurt you. It may be the wrong time. Maybe things have changed. Maybe they've moved away. You can't get contact. They may have died. They may have remarried. And maybe to go directly to that person may reopen some bad wounds. But for your sake, you need to forgive them. So how do you do it? Well, a couple of techniques. One of them is what I call the empty chair technique. And you sit in an empty chair down there in the living room. It's just you and this empty chair. And you imagine that person who hurt you. And you say this to them aloud. I'm letting you off the hook. I'm forgiving you. You don't deserve it, but neither do I, for all the forgive ways God has forgiven me. I'm letting you off the hook because God has forgiven me. And because resentment doesn't work, it just makes me miserable. I'm just miserable. And number three, I'm going to need more forgiveness in the future. So I'm letting you off the hook. I'm letting it go. You're really doing it for your own benefit. It's the right thing to do. I'm letting it go. And I'm not going to try to get even. I relinquish my right to get even. And I'm going to respond to evil with good from now on. Another thing you might do, if you are a writer, you might write a letter explaining all your hurt and how you are forgiving them, and then don't mail it. And you say, that is my way of saying, I'm releasing them. I'm letting them go. Now, I have no doubt that in a crowd this size, and with all the people outside and in all of our other venues, that a lot of you are right now in emotional or relational meltdown. You are in a situation right now, you're in a conflict with a mother or a father or an aunt or an uncle or a brother or sister or a husband or a wife or somebody. And everything in your body wants to run. What you want to do is escape from the relationship. You don't want to deal with it. You want to run from it. You want to run and get away just to ease the pain. And as your pastor, as somebody who really cares about you, I want to say to you, for your own sake, don't do it. Don't do it. You will not get rid of the pain by running out of the relationship or running away from it. You can run all the way to Tahiti, but the problem is you take your mind with you. And the grudge that you are carrying, you're carrying in your mind. There's only one way to get rid of the pain. Forgiveness. It's the only way to get rid of the pain. You've got to let it go. So I relinquish my right to get even. I am responding to evil with good. I am repeating these steps as long as necessary. And the fourth part of forgiveness, now you know you've really forgiven, is by rescuing others with the good news of God's forgiveness. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. That's good news. That's why we call this the peace plan at Saddleback. And God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself. That's the good news. That's why we celebrate Christmas. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sins, and he gave us this message of peace, so we have been sent to speak for Christ. Now, in this church, we take this verse very, very seriously. Once I have been forgiven, I am to spread the message of peace. And it is the goal of this church to take the message of peace to every person in America and to every nation around the world and to every tribe within that nation. Now, let me close with this, some straightforward questions. Do you feel forgiven by God? If you don't, tonight's your night. You shouldn't go out of here with a load of guilt. There's no reason to. Everything you've ever done wrong can be completely forgiven tonight, because you're not going to be able to forgive other people until first you feel forgiven. So I would encourage you in just a minute to follow me in this prayer. You need the forgiveness of God in your own life. Second, who do you need to forgive? Let's just get real practical. Maybe somebody at work, a jerk at work. And they're always lying about you behind your back, and they're always politicking and trying to make you look bad, make themselves look good. You need to forgive them and let it go. How about here at church, in our church family? A church is like a family. It's made up of ordinary people. We hurt each other, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. Do you need to forgive somebody in your small group? Do you need to forgive some staff member who disappointed you? Maybe you need to forgive me. Maybe I, slighted you on the patio in some way. Maybe you need to forgive a leader of a ministry or somebody here. Let it go. Who do you need to forgive in your family? You know, I don't, but you know. The Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. And because God is love, God doesn't keep a record of your wrongs. So he doesn't want you keeping a record of anybody else's. And are you willing to begin sharing the good news of forgiveness, the message of peace with others? Let's bow our heads. I'm sure that many of you carry painful wounds from others. You may have carried them for months or even years. And when you think about that hurt or that betrayal or that rejection or that abuse or those hurtful words or whatever, it's still as fresh as if it happened today. How are you going to get on with your life? Some of you say, Rick, you have no idea how much they have hurt me. And you're right, I don't. I don't know that. But I do know this. I do know that God has forgiven you, that resentment hurts you the most, and that forgiveness is a two-way street and you're going to need it in the future. And I know that the steps of forgiveness are not easy, but they are possible with God. And when you take them, it gives you power in your life. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I invite all of us here to pray this in your heart. Just in your mind, when I say each sentence, you say, me too, God. Dear God, you know how much I've carried unforgiveness in my heart. And I've held on to hurts and memories. And I've secretly wanted to get even. But today I want to let it go. And I want to get on with your plan for my life. So first, I want to accept your forgiveness, Jesus. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to pay for all my sins once and for all, to wipe out my credit, my debts. I don't understand it all, but I'm grateful. And because you've forgiven me, I want to do the right thing. And so today, I'm choosing to let go of the pain and the hurt that I've received from others. And I forgive, and you fill in the blank there. Name the person. I forgive that person. I'm letting go of my right to get even. And I'm choosing to overcome evil with good. And I commit to continue forgiving them until I no longer feel the pain or the desire to get even and seek revenge. Jesus Christ, please replace my hurt with your peace. And please fill my life with your love. I accept my responsibility now to share the good news of forgiveness, the message of peace, with others. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the truth is that most of us don't pay much attention to our health until something goes wrong. We put on a couple of pounds every year and think, no big deal, right? But a few pounds over 5 or 10 years can really add up. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. This 6-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman is an out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle based on 5 essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. The Daniel Plan Study Kit gives individuals the encouragement and accountability needed to succeed. If you've been watching the scale go up lately, or your health is in trouble because of your weight, it's not too late to join. Join the more than 15,000 people who've lost weight, improved their health, and improved their relationships by ordering the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. Let us send you a copy of the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God has 5 purposes for your life. He wants you to know and love Him. That's called worship. He wants you to belong to His family. That's called fellowship. He wants you to grow in character, to be more like Christ. That's called discipleship. And He wants you to learn to serve using your gifts and talents. Serve God by serving others. That's called your ministry. Finally, He wants you to share the good news and your life message with other people around the world. That's called your mission. I'd like to close today to talk to you for just a second about your personal mission. Did you know that the Bible says every time somebody accepts the Lord, they throw a party in heaven? Did you know that? It's right there in Luke 15, verse 7, where the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 who don't need to turn to Christ, who are already there. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, there was a party in heaven for you. And by the way, the day that you help somebody else come to know the Lord, there's going to be a party in heaven, but there's also going to be a party in your heart. I want to encourage you today to look outward, to look around you and see the people who need to hear about the love of God. about the message of Christ, about the purpose of life, about the daily hope that we have in our hearts. The Bible says, always be ready to share the hope that is within you. Could I pray for you? And as we bow in prayer, you might want to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I want the joy that you've given me to be shared with other people. And a lot of times I'm afraid or hesitant to talk about you to others. Would you give me so much love for other people that the love overcomes my fears and gives me the right words to say as I share the hope that's in me? Allow me to help others find you, to find real hope, to find joy through knowing you. Thank you, Lord, so much for trusting me to help bring others to you. I want to accept my mission, and I want to use it for your glory and in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Put somebody in my life today that I can tell about you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.